Hello, hello, everybody. Hello, welcome to the book study call for how to do the work, the book study for April that we've been doing. We are now like into May, but this is a little bit of a longer book. So we gave you guys a little bit more time to read it. We split it up into two calls. And today we will be wrapping up the book study. We will be discussing how to do the work, chapters, what is it, 9 through 12, and the epilogue. So I hope you guys are ready. I hope you have something with you to drink, whether it's tea, water, whatever it is that you've got on your plan for tonight. I'm Coach Yesenia, and I will be leading the discussion. We had a really great discussion last time. Judith, you've got water. Awesome. I've got water today, too. Last time I had like tea or something, but today it's water. Yeah, so I'm Coach Yesenia. I am an OBS coach. I lead a book study every quarter, and it has been amazing leading the one for April and just seeing how much you guys are getting out of it. Like I said, the last discussion, the part one, was really, really good. I think you guys are just getting so much out of the book, and I'm excited to hear from you guys again tonight. How this kind of call works is I'm looking for a few of you lovely ladies to raise your hand, and we'll have a couple of us just on here. I just ask that you be like in a good conducive environment to be on Zoom, like make sure it's not too noisy, make sure you have a good connection. It's okay if you haven't quite finished reading the book, if you just want to join in on the discussion, share what you got out of it. You know, we're going to be discussing the study guide a little bit. You can go ahead and raise your hand. And so I will go ahead and start looking for whoever that is that wants to come on here with me. If you were on here last time and you want to come on again, that's great. Or if you're, you know, if you weren't on here last time, but you want to come on here this time, that also works. So while you guys go ahead and do that, get to a good place, raise your hand, get your book, get your study guide. I did want to share this Facebook post that I saw. I won't share like who wrote it, but I wanted to read it because I felt like it was so good and it has like a really good takeaway in it. And I feel like it resonated with me. Like this was me when I was reading the book too. And so I wanted to share it while you guys get settled in. So somebody wrote in the Facebook group for the book study. She said, "So I just got through chapter 6 and I'm realizing most of my core beliefs just suck. How am I just supposed to unbelieve all the shit I've believed and been told for years? Feels like way too big a hill to climb, especially when one of my core beliefs is that I'm not capable or adequate, and I find myself now internally beating myself over having the shitty beliefs. Like the shitty beliefs alone are proof something that is wrong with me." This is something that can definitely come up once we start to gain self-awareness, we work on our thoughts, we start journaling, we get coached, we see other people get coached, like we start to get the self-awareness and we realize how much shitty thinking we have or the shitty beliefs that have been holding us back all this time. And so I'm really glad this person made this post because it raises a really good issue. And you guys were amazing in the comments and really gave her some thoughtful responses. And then in the comments, she wrote, "Update. Thanks for all your responses. I was thinking about this issue on my walk yesterday, and I came to this conclusion. I have accomplished a lot in life, even with the shitty beliefs along for the ride. So I don't need to get rid of them all overnight to move forward or to do things. Instead, I can envision only getting better and better as my beliefs do. That feels a lot better than I believe shit, so I am shit. LOL." So I just thought that was so empowering and so insightful and just, it's so good. So if that comes up for you at all, you know, now that you're in OBS and, you know, you're working on yourself, sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have so much shitty thinking, but it's kind of incredible to see how much we have accomplished with our shitty beliefs, right? So imagine what happens once you start working on those. So I just had to share that. All right. So Coach Judith is in the chat supporting you. If you have any questions, if you need links to anything, she will have your back in the chat. I'm going to go ahead and start bringing up a couple people. I've got Vicky and Wendy with their hand up. And if anybody else wants to raise their hand and come on here and discuss the book, it's just like a fun, casual discussion. And, you know, it's just, you know, for fun to share our takeaways. If you want to raise your hand and give that a go with us, now is the time. So let me go ahead and bring them up. Oh, thanks, Judith. She said, I enjoyed the discussion from last call. Awesome. Okay. Let me go ahead and bring up Vicky and we'll get started. And then I'll bring up Wendy. If we could get another like one or two people, it'd be even better. The more people we have on here to discuss, even better. I want to hear your opinions. I want to hear your perspectives. I want to hear your takeaways.
Hello.
Hi, Vicky. Hello. Let me bring up Wendy as well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing good. I'm excited to be on this call with you guys. Coming from, by the way?
I live in Orlando.
Orlando. Nice.
Yeah. I finished the book about a half an hour ago.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You're like fresh. Fresh, ready to
discuss. I was racing through. Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, Wendy, I love your shirt.
Yeah, I got my no BS.
I need to order me one of those for the gym for sure. I have not seen the tank top yet. I have the t-shirt.
It's really cute. I love it.
Awesome. And then where are you at?
I am in Central Oregon. I apologize for missing your last call with this book. So I'm jumping in here.
Well, good. I'm glad you're here. Just jumping on in. Awesome. All right. And do we have anybody else who wants to join us for the discussion? I'll keep an eye out in case anybody else raises their hand. But we will go ahead and get started. Okay. So for this call, we're discussing chapters 9 through 12, like just the remainder of the book from chapters 9 on. What were your top takeaways from this section of the book? Like what stood out to you the most or what resonated with you? Did you have any favorite quotes?
For me, first of all, I thought it was so interesting, the quote from the Facebook post that you just read out. And I don't think we learn enough that when we really start to get into the self-work, sometimes, a lot of times we do feel bad. We feel worse at first.
Yes.
And it's kind of a shock sometimes.
Yeah.
But I was looking at the, what do they call it though? The types of archetypes. Is that how you pronounce it? That resonate with you. And one of them stood out a lot for me. And I have actually both my parents, not my dad when I was so young, but my mom was always on a diet. And although she never said anything to us that I remember, I definitely always remember her being on crazy diets and, you know, being super concerned about her weight. And later in life, my dad, and he is 82 now, over the last, I don't know, 20 to 30 years. And the man, I mean, he was 6'4", he's 6'2 now. I think at his highest, he weighed like 200 and, you know, crazy 210, whatever. Like he was never, you know, he just always thought he was fat, right? And he's so obsessed with food now and whatever. And I do remember him making comments about my, and I've reframed it out of concern, but just worrying that, you know, if I had a little extra or whatever, that, you know, I'm sure he was worried that, was I going to find somebody or whatever. So I see that as the biggest one that stood out for me.
So which one is that? I think you're talking about the trauma bond archetype.
Yeah, right? That wasn't that page
165.
Yeah. Wasn't that chapter 8 or did I start back too far?
No, that was 9. That was 9.
Okay. Yeah. where they had the different kinds in there. So that one, but a couple of them had little ones.
your mom was probably the one who was overly focused on appearance, or was it something else?
My mother? You're talking about? Yeah. Oh yeah. She was definitely just mostly for her. Although it was very important how we looked for other people. So there were other things in there as well. Like how we looked to the outside world. We all had matching outfits, blah, 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 stuff like that. Yeah. So it was interesting to hear her separate them out like that, the author.
I actually got stuck for a second because, you know, the question came along of, what if I am missing a parent? So my dad was never around. He left. He wasn't a father. So I just had to like pick, well, having a parent who denies my reality, because it's like, I don't exist. So he's not coming around to father me. So I just kind of had to pick that one, but there is a bit of trauma from an absent parent as well. So I didn't see that in here, and I kind of had to make something fit for the absent parent.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of us, especially in OBS, probably had that one that you were talking about, Vicky, the overly focused on appearance, or like overly focused on the number on the scale, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like how many of us were going to Weight Watchers, right? At a young age.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did that impact you, Vicky?
Oh, I when I got old enough, I remember going on one of her crazy diets. I didn't go with her to the, it was once she was eating like boiled chicken and had these, I don't know, little crispy things to eat. And so I was doing that with her. And, you know, at that point, I'm like, you know, we all look back, we're like, oh, I wish I weighed that. I was like a junior in high school. I think I weighed 125 or something. And I'm like, oh, all my friends weigh 118, you know, like I need to lose. Right. So I was always aware of it, right? It made me aware that I weighed more than my friends.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Did you guys pick up on any other sort of beliefs or anything like that? Like you're like what you just said, Vicky, like, you know, I should weigh as much as them. I weigh a little bit too much. Like, did you guys pick up on anything else like that just as you were reading through the book?
The core beliefs were a big one. I mean, those are going to resonate for a long time for me. You know, that one that she used in the book about not being seen or considered was huge. As a kid, I kind of feel like every kid wants to be considered by adults. But we're just not, it's an adult's world. But yeah, I wanted to be considered. I wanted attention a lot of times. And so when I didn't get that, I actually would eat. And so I have, this is back in like chapter 4 or something, but I put in here that, there was a question in the booklet that says, what are you ready to release and heal? Why? Is there anything you want to keep examining? And I said, I'm ready to release the neediness and constant desire for attention, because I will eat if I don't get the attention.
Yeah. You're like seeking to fulfill that need. And like how, I mean, that's such a, you know, big need, such a like foundational need, right? And for a lot of us, it wasn't met consistently, or it wasn't always met. And so,
yeah,
like we bring that into adulthood.
Right. I had some of that, Wendy, but I would people please, because I saw that if I would people please my parents, mostly my mom, I would get her attention and her time and stuff like that. So I have, I'm a reform people pleaser now.
Do you have a lot of siblings?
I have 2 siblings. Yeah. Okay. I'm the oldest. So, yeah, I kind of have a little bit of the oldest child syndrome. So,
yeah.
it's interesting how we get a behavior to figure out how to get our needs met, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or to going up to my grandma and being like, hey, I'm hungry when I'm not, and then right. having her make me something really good. It was a form of attention. Mm-hmm. She loved cooking for me. You know, food was love. And
I bet you didn't know how to say like, oh, I want love. I want affection. Like a lot of us didn't even know how to express that mm-hmm. growing up. We learned to do it in other ways. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Jess? Where are you coming in from, by the way?
I'm coming in from Wisconsin. So right outside of Madison, the state capital.
Cool. Gotcha.
So talking about the archetypes or the, you know, the different trauma bonds that we have, one that really stuck out for me as I went through this is the emotionally unavailable parent. My mom went through a lot of trauma in her childhood. And even when we were younger, you know, there was, my dad died when I was 9 months old. There has been a lot of trauma for her, and she didn't even have the emotional capacity to deal with what she was dealing with herself, much less deal with the needs that I had, the emotional capacity needs that I had, and that I, the responses we always got, it was either like you were yelled at or you were ignored. Those were the two things. And it was sometimes very explosive. She had a very, mm-hmm. you know, everything was great. And then all of a sudden at you. So that, like the other gals mentioned, is a total led to people pleasing too, because you don't want to have that explosion of anger mm-hmm. at you. You just want to just get through
your life. Just want your mom to love you. Yeah.
Right. Right. And I don't think I realized, my mom is gone now, but I don't think I realized how much that affected me. And as I worked through a lot of this book that just kept popping up at me, like, I want to recognize that it passed on to me. I can tell you that. Like I for sure, I'm the one that if my kids do something to make me mad, I have to pause and take that breath. So I'm not doing the same things that she did to me. And when I do have that happen, I will go back and have the conversations with them saying, I just want to let you know, I overreacted. I apologize. This is not the time. Was not an appropriate response to have to a situation like that. And, you know, it just, it astounded me how much I do sometimes see that in myself as well. So it's been a lot of journal work on that topic.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love hearing that, because when I was reading this, I was not only relating it to my mother and my grandmother above me or my, you know, parents, but also me as a guardian to my niece and how I'm treating her, who came into our house from her mom, who's like alcoholic and addict. So yeah, we're reading these things as parents too, and going, well, how am I doing this today?
Yeah. What are the stress cycles I'm in? What are like the automatic, like emotional responses I'm practicing from like what I saw growing up?
And right.
Yeah. And then like starting to unravel that. What would you tell someone who's like just coming up on this work and they're like starting to see that? And like, what would you say? Like, how do you even get started with like unraveling this and like the shame that may come up?
Yeah.
I think what's interesting is I spoke with my sister today and I mentioned the book and I said, I think you would really benefit from this book. I think I've learned a lot. So I think, for me, if I was walking through the book with her or she was walking through it, I would just tell her that, you know, these things, first of all, my mother was doing the best she can with what she had. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And to say, you don't have to carry her burden anymore. And it's going to be a hard thing for you to recognize that you're, you know, even doing this, it's hard to look at yourself and see behaviors that you don't want to exhibit. And it's tough. But yeah, be prepared to do the hard work, to cry, to walk through all of this. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of tough work.
Yeah. But it's definitely work worth doing for sure.
Oh, 100%.
It can be hard. It can bring up shame. It can bring up all this little T trauma, big T trauma for sure. Yeah.
And I love how there was so much that she was talking about in here that Corinne talks about. I don't know what it was. Was it the four pillars, or I've lost my way.
Yes, the four pillars of parenting. I jotted that down too.
It's like talking nicely to yourself without the pillars of parenting. You know, it's like we're so hard on ourselves.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I love it in the book towards the end where she talks about how, like, you are going to mess up.
Right.
You're going to mess up. That's okay. Right. But like,
I know,
like, we can't avoid traumatizing our kids in one way or another. That's how they build resiliency. And
right.
I feel like kids are more resilient than adults. They're just so strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody in the comments asked a good question. Let's see if I can find it again. Canyon Hiker says, if we never got parental love, we created it out of food. So that was like a good insight, right? Yeah. So the same person said, how can we rewrite food as love? Like getting that comfort and love from food. What do you guys think?
I personally think that's a tough one. Because if I could figure that out, I wouldn't be where I am today.
So say that again. What are you?
How can we rewrite that belief of like food is love? Like it's very like tied up. Like there are these two things that are like very tied up together since we were young, that like food is love. Kind of like what Wendy was saying. Like when you wanted like love or affection or connection, like you told your grandmother, like, I'm hungry, even though you weren't really hungry.
Okay.
And vice versa. I mean, a way that my parents or grandparents would show me love was to make me a special meal on my birthday or something. Right. And then and I was around a lot of Hispanic families within our main family. It was like extended.
Where we definitely have that belief, food is love.
Yeah. If you turn away food, it's a personal attack. It's like, how dare you, you know? So it is hard to rewrite because it's cultural, it's embedded in culture. But mentally we can just practice new thoughts around it and try not to take things personally if we offer somebody food or something that we made and they don't want it. So it has to start with us, basically. Mm-hmm.
Starts with us. And like, and if you want to show them love, like some, like it's as simple as like practicing more, like actually saying I love you, right? Whether it's like a text message or in person, like to start to untangle that, right? Like food's not the only way you could show love. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, in those moments where you feel love, to say to yourself, this is what love feels like. You know, when you're having those moments where you're sitting, you know, I think of the times like I'm sitting and playing games with my kids or doing something like that and just pausing and taking that second and saying, this is love. And trying to
and paying attention to how it feels in your body.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I bet Judith resonates with this because she loves feeling the feelings and all of that. She coaches a lot on that. Yeah. How does like feeling love towards someone or feeling loved, how does that like feel for you in your body? Right. Like it wasn't the food. It's usually a different moment. It wasn't when like you took that first bite of pie or soup or whatever it was. It's like when you see them or they tell you how proud they are of you or whatever. Right. Or, you know, sometimes I see my kids and they're just having like a normal moment, you know, laughing or giggling. And like in that moment, I feel love towards them. Right. Mm-hmm. They're just being silly and I love seeing them. And Yeah.
And I think in those moments too, sorry, Wendy, where I realize that I see and I feel that love. And I think about Reese's peanut butter cups are the thing for me. That's my first kind of thing. That it was, I can eat a bite of Reese's peanut butter cup and go, oh, this doesn't bring me those same feelings anymore, because I know what authentic love feels like. And the food doesn't show me that anymore.
Yeah. When you take that bite of the Reese's, it's a different feeling in your body than when like you're with somebody and feeling love towards them or feeling love from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that interesting that we don't, maybe I'm just generalizing. That was really good, Jess, that we don't pay attention. Like when we're having all these good feelings, you go, oh, this feels amazing. Wow, I'm so happy, you know, and I'm, you know, whatever, at the movie with my friend, and this is what companionship feels like. This is what, whatever, the opposite of lonely feels like. This is, we don't like take time to like really identify, like, you know, I never really thought about it like that. We're all on the negative, you know, oh, this feels like crap.
Yeah, we're good at seeing that.
In the pizza or whatever, right?
That's such a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, let's practice like recognizing those small, like, amazing moments and recognizing what that positive emotion is, whether it's like gratitude, joy, peace. I think we have a feelings wheel on that trusting your body course page. Like, look at that. Nice. You are on it. You got it. Yeah. Get good at like just reading through those and seeing what they are and just practice identifying those for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the reparenting, the four pillars, I think that was like around page 200 or so. I loved those. So they were one, emotional regulation, which I was like thinking of like how like it ties back to the four basics and like no BS and everything we learn here. And this is what I wrote. So the first one is emotional regulation. And I thought, oh, that's like thought work. That's feeling the feelings. That's like think, feel, do, journaling, deep breathing. Two is loving discipline, which is, I thought was like, oh, like that made me think of planning, following your plan, sitting with urges, doing a discovery worksheet, self-accountability, your daily routines and habits. The third one is self-care, which made me think of like, oh, like our water, our sleep, our protocols that we have in place. Are non-food related comforting activities, saying no, right? Instead of people pleasing, movement, getting outside. And then the fourth one is rediscover your childlike sense of wonder. And that made me think of just like having fun, enjoying the journey, shopping, right? Makeup, movement, dancing, going for the promotion or the opportunity. Singing. I love singing in the car or like in the shower and reading. So it made me think of like those things. I just saw those four pillars and I thought they were great. And I was like, we kind of teach the four pillars. Like it's just, we don't call them the four pillars, but we definitely, you know, teach like things around that, like that tie back to the four pillars. So I was just wondering, like, how would you assess those for each of you? Is there one of those that you're working on? One that you feel really strong with? What'd you guys think of those?
I'm continually working on the self, the emotional regulation, you know, and with thought work and stuff like that. And then not beating myself up for being there again, you know, with like, oh, this happened, la, la,
not
and
then, la, 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 la.
Right.
Yeah. So, which one did you say that was?
I think that's one, the emotional regulation and navigating my emotional state, right?
Yeah. I feel like that could also go under like, what is it? Like even self-care in a way, like, yeah, not beating yourself up, but also like, yeah, for sure. Emotional regulation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, I fluctuate. I mean, when I have a tough day, I'm working on that first pillar just to try to keep the equanimity emotionally. When I, you know, maybe the next day after I had that tough day, I just want to go do something silly and fun and go watch a comedy movie or go to the park. you know, because it's trying to balance out my work life. So it depends, but different days I'm working on different things.
Yeah.
I would say for me, the one that I mean, I think we all work on them all, you know, together, right? But the one that really pops out for me, it was the childlike wonder, because I don't feel like with everything that happened in my childhood, I got to experience that myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to experience the joy of just playing a game, you know, like doing something that makes me happy just because it makes me happy. Right. Like, it's hard to remember the last time that, you know, I've done that. And so that to me, it's like, you know, trying to find those moments that just will make me happy and embrace those and just be present at that time.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up. And I'm so glad that she put that in the book as one of the four pillars, mm-hmm. because you're right. Like, a lot of us did not get enough of that growing up. A lot of us got very little of that, like just getting to have fun, be our authentic selves, like that sense of wonder. And I'm so glad we're all here. And like a lot of us, like, that's just what we need. I feel like that's also like a basic need. It's just to like have fun, laugh, explore. And yeah, it's just, it's incredible. I love it. Yeah.
Let's talk about that some more. If you go look in chapter 7 about that inner child, it says, childlike part is free, filled with wonder and awe. I could tell you what page, but I'm on an iPad, so I don't know exactly what page it is. It's hard for me to tell, but it's
that inner child chapter.
Under introducing the inner child.
Okay.
And then
yeah, so it's page 126.
I think the page after that. So they're talking about like one of the studies, and it says there's a childlike part of ourselves. This childlike part is free, filled with wonder and awe, and can and connected to the inner wisdom of our authentic self. It can be accessed only when we are safely in the social connection zone of our nervous system, able to feel spontaneous and open. So we have to be there first. Our nervous system has to be feeling safe and calm before we can really let that kid out again. And so many of us are dealing with all the traumas and the day-to-day stuff that
the stress,
we never even get there.
Anxiety. Yeah, how many of us are not there most of the time? Right. I see this for sure with like the private clients I work with. Sometimes we don't really feel safe to lose weight. We don't really feel safe to stop at enough. We don't really feel safe to do some self-care and like say no to other people.
Or safe to go to somebody's birthday party where they're going to have a lot of food around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's rough.
Yeah. How do you guys do that work of just feeling safe, like coming out of the stress, the anxiety, and then like feeling safe, calming down your nervous system?
Well, I, you know, would just finish Jane's thing where she had the home base, which I thought was like brilliant, like the home base and then being above home base and below home base. So I've been pretty successful at doing that at almost every meal. And that just that like 20 seconds, like that I'm like, I'm even catching myself with like sometimes the first bite, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, where am I? What? And it just, I'm like, oh, usually I'm above home base when I sit down to eat. And I just take a minute and I just like breathe. Actually, I just breathe for a minute and I remind myself like everything's just fine right now, right? And just sit there for, it doesn't take long. I mean, yeah. And
I think we just have to remember to like catch ourselves and come back
exactly.
to the present moment.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause a lot of times we're just kind of having all these little thoughts and we're spinning and we're like thinking about this, thinking about that. I need to do this. I need to do that. And it's like, whoa, we got to catch ourselves. Like just slow down.
Yeah.
Be in the present moment.
Yeah. I also recently started setting a timer for twice a day to feel my feelings, which has like been kind of crazy. Because I've been in the tribe a long time, since 2017. Mm-hmm. So I got this model stuff down. I'm like, oh, I love this. Like used to be CTFAR, whatever it is now. I'm like, oh, great. So I got really good at like identifying the feeling from my thinking, but only recently. Okay, so almost 5 years in, I'm like, oh, I'm not really feeling it. I see that I'm angry or I'm annoyed or whatever. But then I'm like, okay, you know, I just kind of like didn't feel it. So I am doing that now, which seems to be helping. No shock, right?
Yeah. How long did you say you've been in the membership?
2017.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's taken you time.
Taken a long time to
build that awareness and learn to catch yourself and pause and come back to the present moment and like notice patience. When you're not really feeling the patience.
I know. That's the thing,
like,
right?
Yeah, it's a marathon. Like no one's timing you. It's okay. Like this journey is supposed to take time.
And then it comes back again when I realized I'm like, oh, I hadn't really been feeling my feelings. There was a little bit of a beat down. I'm like, oh no, it's okay. You know, it's like, you know, gosh, you're in the tribe for so long, right? Or membership, sorry. It's okay. We're getting to it now. So a little bit kinder self-talk.
Well, good. Yeah, I'm glad you're noticing the kinder self-talk. Mm-hmm, like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt. Coach Yesenia, can you demote me back to attendee so I can get ready for a workout class?
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, you all.
Have a fun workout.
I will. Yeah, I'll be on for a little bit longer. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There we go.
I think a surprise for me, I will say, is reading this. I didn't realize how much I wasn't in my body. Mm. Like how much, like you said, Vicky, like not feeling your feelings and just kind of being outside of yourself. It just really, it became very present to me. Like how, like you said, all the thought, like you both said, all the thoughts are going everywhere and all the things that life throws at us. And to take that, you know, time to just come back to where you are, it really blew me away to see that, honestly.
Yeah. Someone in the comments at Canyon Hiker Karen said, and I'm so glad you wrote this. She said, reminder, we are human beings, not human doings. I was reading it right behind me. It's called The Power of Now. And I think it's from that book. Eckhart Tolle, he says that we're human beings, like be in the present moment. We're not supposed to be, a lot of us, like we think way too much. Like thinking is helpful to us as humans, but like sometimes the monkey mind, he calls it the monkey mind. Like it just takes over and like, we're not even in control anymore. Like come back to the present moment, just be. And I love what you said, Jess, because that's exactly right. Like the whole, like be in your body, like feeling it all comes back to your body. Like I know here we talk a lot about like your thinking and thought work and journaling. And yes, like that's what we're here to do and work on. And that's great. But the core of our work here, like what it ends up coming back to that we all realize, and I'm sure Judith will agree with me, like it really comes back to body work, like not just thought work, like above that, like body work, like listening to your body, like when you're hungry, when you're thirsty, when you've had enough, what kind of foods your body wants, how different foods feel in your body, and like feeling the feelings, being present. Yeah. Yeah. Is that what it's called? Somatic work. Is that it? I've been hearing that term lately. Is that what that is? Yeah. Judith says yes. Yes. It always comes, keep all of those here. Like if you're, you know, working on this, you're figuring this out, you're working on your weight loss, you're working on the thoughts, like keep coming back to your body, listening to your body, feeling the feelings in your body, all of your feelings, like feel a certain way in your body. Yeah. And it does take practice and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Did you guys have anything else that you wanted to share? Otherwise, like, we can go through the, there's like a couple questions from the study guide. I thought were good.
You can go through the questions where you want. I did find it interesting in the boundaries, because as a people pleaser, I've gotten better at that. So I should say reform people pleaser. But just recently, I didn't realize, but I set boundaries on myself for taking, I'm an interior designer, and I was taking jobs that were like an hour away. And I decided I'm not doing that. It's too far to, I don't get paid for my time. And even if I did, I don't want to spend an hour driving to the job and then back. And I decided not to take big, huge remodeling jobs because of an issue in my neck. And I end up like back in physical therapy. I'm like, no. And I've gotten calls recently and I'm like, no, we're taking care of ourselves. And I was like, oh gosh, it was hard to say no, because
that comes back to your like familiar stress cycle of the people pleasing, exactly. Like feeling needed. And I bet it creates like this response in your body, right? Yeah.
And I'm like,
a little bit of money, adrenaline,
you know, or, it's like, yeah. Thinking that the money also would prove my self-worth or whatever. I'm like, I just can't do it. So I was glad that I did that. It was a little bit of discomfort to say no, but then I was really glad I said no, because I'm like, oh yeah, that's an hour drive out to that job. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Again, you check in with your body and you're like, no. Do I really want to do this? Like usually even your body will tell you if you really are like a yes or a no. Mm-hmm. Sometimes like even like lean a little forward for a yes, or like lean a little back for a no, or you just feel a certain something in your in your belly, like if you're a yes or a no. And that's also like our gut feeling or our intuition. Yeah. I love these two quotes from the book. Like I love how she kept like touching on this, where she says one quote was, one can only be as connected to others as they are to themselves. Mm-hmm. And then the other one towards the end of the book where she said, no one can figure out and know your wants and needs and how to meet them better than you. Mm-hmm. And that also ties in really well to like what we learn here inside of No BS, right?
Right. Yeah.
Instead of like depending on others to make you feel happy or make you feel loved. Like,
so true.
Learn to do that for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the quote on the pizza box? I forgot what that was, but that was pretty funny.
On the what?
Funny story. On her pizza box, the quote she was looking for and looking for.
Is that the very end? I think that's in the epilogue.
Oh, it is? Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. Sorry, I got ahead of myself.
No, yeah, we can talk about that too. We're talking because we're covering the rest of the book. So what was the pizza box story? You remember?
Where she was talking about.
We don't remember the days, we remember the moment.
There we go. Yeah. And she had been looking, that was the quote she had seen somewhere in like, was it New York or somewhere that she was walking? Yeah. And it started her down this whole spiritual awakening path, and she couldn't find it no matter what. And then for some reason they decided to order pizza that night. And it was on the side of the pizza box, and it was just kind of, I think she was wrapping up the book and was just trying to get.
Yeah. She was like, she couldn't attribute the quote. She couldn't remember exactly what it was. Yeah. And then, it was by Cesare Pavese. We don't remember days, we remember moments.
Yeah.
And it's on page 260. I just saw somebody pop up and ask what page that was.
Yeah. Which she kept saying, like, she couldn't remember a lot of her childhood. And I thought that was so interesting. Like, I never thought about that, that could be like a sign of just a little trauma that our brain doesn't remember some of those things. I also thought it was so interesting when she was talking about just like, you know, the romantic relationships we enter as adults and how those are also very tied back to how we grew up and what needs were met and those stress cycles and all of that. Like she said, the people I was choosing to love was not random. It was all part of a pattern, a deeper story that started in my attachment bonds in infancy. I'm like, I can definitely see how that's true.
Oh, like, for sure.
Looking back at my past relationship.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think I unknowingly picked somebody that was the complete opposite of my parents growing up. I mean, the more I think back on it, he is so calm and level-headed and just very opposite of what I grew up with. So I just, something somewhere in the universe or in the back of my mind knew that's what I needed to have that in my life.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. What has that taught you, Jess?
Oh, it's being so different and not having that is actually, it makes me, it's one of those things that has to make me stop and think about it. And he actually is the one who will sometimes pull me back in and say, he'll say, you sound like your mother right now, which that's not what anybody wants to hear. But or he'll say, okay, Julie. And I'll just go, oh, whew, all right. He's pulling me back in and saying, you know, you're not in the emotional headspace that you want to be in and that I know you want to be in.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just what I needed, honestly, is somebody to do that for me when I don't think I could do that myself.
Mm. Yeah. When you're like above home base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you must feel safe at some like pretty high level for it to be okay for, and for you to want him to do this. So that's super nice.
It is. It is. And I think too, I mean, reading this book, we talked, I went through some of the, it was either the trauma bonds or the parent, the attachment archetypes that we talked about in the last session, to just say, I see, you know, we talk about those amongst ourselves. Like what I said, oh my gosh, this sounds like your mother. Oh my gosh, this sounds like how you grew up. And it helps us understand each other a lot better. And to be able to recognize that within each other. And yeah, these conversations help us get even closer and better. And yes, I do feel very safe with them.
You're creating safety for each other. Yeah, like emotional safety. And then you feel safe enough to heal.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Does anybody have any questions about the book as we get ready to wrap up here? Any questions that came up as you were reading the book, or anything else that you guys would like us to address? Or, you know, Jess or Vicky, is there anything else from the book that really resonated? She did talk about
Sorry, go ahead. No, I thought it was really amazing that she set the boundary with her family and actually took that space.
I was almost like, a little surprised when she talked about that, because I don't know, like what I noticed for me, or like the thought that I had was like, oh, like if you know, are working on your thoughts and you're working on feeling your feelings, shouldn't you like not do that? Like, shouldn't you like work on yourself and like, you know, work on you? But like, it really opened up my mind to see her do that and like, just like try it and let herself heal. And then like, then when she was ready, she did come back and.
Yeah. She reached back out to them. Yeah. That was very interesting. And she had an example in there about, I guess her family is Italian, and that she had to like multiple times or whatever, like, cause she had changed her food and, you know, her whatever. And she just set the limit, you know, this is what I'm eating and not eating. And the parents weren't happy, but like, I guess maybe you can only take so much of that. I mean,
that's what I was thinking too. I guess I was like, yeah, with everything that she went through and all the little trauma that she like recognized and was working on, I guess it like, it would make sense that like for a while, she just had to like completely like separate herself out from that and not manage her mind around it for a while so that she could like really fully work on it. It reminds me of like when Corinne tells us like, you know, like if we're working on managing urges, like around cookies, like you don't have to like get rid of the cookies, but maybe for like a week or two, you don't have them in the house just so you can like have some wins around not having the cookies. Like it made me think of that too.
Yes. Yeah.
Let me temporarily remove this just so I can like get my thoughts together and not have to manage my mind around
it. I thought the same thing though, because when you know the model and whatever, you're like, oh, you're not supposed to change your circumstance, right?
Yeah,
just getting rid of the family. So I was like, all right, maybe it's a lot. I mean, everybody's different, right?
Yeah. And really, like, nothing that you do is like right or wrong. You just get to decide. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very interesting.
Even before we met this, I would say I've been actually doing that subconsciously with my family. Like, it's seeing the differences of opinions we have. I mean, especially in this, you know, politicized very climate that we have right now, I have found, like, for my mental health, I cannot be around certain people because it weighs on me, and I'm in an agitated state the whole time because I'm like, I know they're going to bring this up. When are they going to bring this up? And just kind of like on the edge of your seat, right? Like, I can't live my life like that. And so there are family members that I have that I can't interact with for those reasons, because I know I will be above home base the whole time.
Yeah. That's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. Like, I probably do that too. Like, sometimes we think of boundaries as like, oh, I need to like not talk to him. Like, I mean, you could do that. That's one example of a boundary. But for me, a boundary might be like with certain people, like certain friends and family members. I don't, you know, I might not follow them as much on Facebook, or like, I don't like check their stories or whatever. Like, because again, I don't want to have to manage my mind, and I want to have like a loving relationship with them without any of like the, you know, political stuff or the drama or the different opinions. So I'm like, oh, because I love them and I want to love them and I want to have this kind of relationship, I know that certain people that I'm not going to like see what they're up to all the time on social media. Yeah.
Right.
Oh God. I just thought about that. I have a dinner club next weekend, and they always get into it. And I'm like, out of the 12 people, 10 of us are all on this, but I still don't even want to get into it with everybody.
It's like shoot up above home base so fast.
Yeah, yes, we all agree. Let's talk about something else now. So I always, the last time, whatever, something was big was going on, and I'm like, okay, this room is the political free drama room. Everybody else that wants to talk politics, that room, stay over there. I won't be above home base.
In a situation like that, what you could do, like, I know Jane talks about this in Trusting Your Body, like the tapping. I don't know if you guys like looked into the tapping. I love to do the tapping. I was working with a private client, and she was working on like just eating at a restaurant and kind of like coming back to home base when she's like in the excitement and the buzz and everyone's talking at the restaurant. And she would like just do tapping on her leg, and she would like say an affirmation or a thought. I can't remember exactly what it was, but like, if that's something you struggle with when you're like around a bunch of people, and it's like, how do you come back to home base?
That's a good idea.
Surrounded by people. I know we've talked about like, maybe you go to the bathroom for a minute, but even if you're sitting there, you can kind of just like tap on your leg and like just say an affirmation or like a belief or a thought or something, just to like help you get back to home base and take some deep breaths.
Yeah, I'll pre-plan for that.
maybe try like the tapping, like deep breath. Okay. Well, awesome. And then I don't think I asked this last time, but what do you guys think about the cover? Like, I'm always curious, like about a book and its cover. It's always like chosen for, you know, a specific reason. But what'd you guys think of this cover? Like the colors, the design. I was like, I couldn't really tell. I was like, is this a sun? I couldn't tell if it was like,
exactly. Yeah.
I was like trying to figure that out. Cause like, you know, when I used to publish books, like the cover is like a pretty important piece, and, you know, especially for nonfiction, like usually like it means something. What'd you guys think it meant?
I hadn't thought about it. I was attracted to the color cause I love color.
Yeah.
So I didn't know. I didn't think about that though.
Yeah. Maybe because it's like such a bright color, like super bright. Maybe it's like even like just the emotions of everything.
Yeah. It could be.
But it kind of made me think of like, I don't know if this is like a sun. I'm like, is it like a setting sun or a rising sun? Like you guys will have to let me know in the chat too, if anybody has any ideas on like what the color what the color was about, like the design. That was cool.
No, I liked it.
I think too, she talks a lot about, I think what I get from her is she was above home base a lot. I think that's the feeling that I get from her. And that feels red to me. That feels almost like fiery, or
that is so true.
That heightened sense. Like if you were below home base, you'd pick like blue or purple or black or something really like, but yeah, I think it just, the swirling, and it feels like how that emotion feels like.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Yeah. Yeah, someone in the comments said, love the swirling circle, maybe like getting to our inner heart. That could be it too. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she has a podcast for anyone who like really loved the book and wants to like hear more from her. She has a podcast if you want to look that up. I think I put the link at the end of the study guide for that.
I think I'm following her on Instagram too.
Yeah, she's on Instagram as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Any last thoughts on the book or like how you're applying it to your weight loss, to your life, the authentic self, the intuition piece, like anything from the book, like how are you guys applying it? What are your top takeaways? And you guys can share in the chat as well.
For me, remembering the self-talk. Like that's always, I'm pretty good about that, but I just recently, as of like today, got back into like my normal head. Like I have been like with all this stuff going on and I just totally wasn't able to get back to like, I was way above home base and I was like beating myself up and whatever. And I just like, wait a minute. And I just started talking nice to myself again. So I no matter what happens, because we're never perfect. Mm-hmm. Or there's going to be times where, you know, whatever, you know, you eat off plan or go face down in something, whatever it is. And I just have to remember to keep talking nicely to myself. It's all okay. So that again got reiterated in here. And I'm like, it seems like it's key. Like we've got to start talking nicely to ourselves. I mean, we're hard on ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Do you think you're like, what comes up for you the most, like being above home base or below it?
Above for me.
I just say above. I've noticed a lot how above and swirly my mind is sometimes.
Yeah. I like that word, swirly.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's above home base too, most of the time. But today I felt like kind of just in a funk. Like I felt like I was like below home base, just kind of like blue. And I liked some of the strategies that she had in there for like kind of trying to cope with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I think I did the singing and the music and I was like, okay, that helped me kind of get back to
a little energized.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually have sun in Wisconsin for the first time in the last 2 days have been beautiful and sunny. And my mood has been so amazing. And just so I've been, you know,
that is
my energy has been happy. I even said to my coworkers yesterday, I'm like, I think we should have a dance party. This is the kind of day we need to like have a dance party because it's so amazing.
Yeah.
You're even wearing yellow.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. There's so many things in here. I don't know that I can narrow down the top takeaways. I think it just opened my mind up so much to, you know, things in my life and how I look at them. And I think I have talked to everyone I know about this book and how much I love this book and how great it is. And I can see myself going back and reading it again and finding more little nuggets because I know I didn't get them all for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Like if you read the book, like maybe this time you could go back and listen to it in the car or something. Sometimes listen, like getting it in a different form can help you like really absorb it. But yeah, for sure. If you read it again, you'll get something out of it. And then one last thing that I'll say too, if you did get something out of, if you enjoyed it, if you're still reading it, like definitely like go, if you're on Instagram or Facebook, like go on and like share a picture of the book or a selfie with the book or something, and like tag the author, Dr. Nicole LaPera, and tag her in. It's still possible we could like get her to come in and ask answer some questions and discuss the book with us. But yeah, that's always helpful, is like just letting the author know how much you got out of it, whether it's like sharing on social or leaving a review, like wherever you got it, that also helps the author. So just one final note on that. That's just, if you got something out of it, definitely let the author know. All right. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for coming on
here.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for doing the book study with us. And the next one will be in August. I don't think it's official yet, but I'll kind of give you guys a little, I'll let you guys know. I think the next one we're going to do is Tiny Habits. I'll see if I can confirm that soon with you guys. But I know some of you guys like to get an early start and order your book and everything. So the next one will be in August. So keep an eye out for that. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm sure I'll see you around in the book study group.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.